Tragic events of the last couple weeks have been a stark reminder to us of how quickly our lives can change. At any given moment, the storms of life come crashing into our lives and they turn our world upside down. Could happen to any of us. It might be a financial storm. It might be a personal relationship crisis. It might be something to do with your health. It might be you show up to work and there's a pink notice on your desk that tells you to clear out your desk and your job is gone. Life changes sometimes at the most inconvenient and terrible times. Many of you here tonight are going through a personal storm. Whether or not you're in the middle of one, all of us are going to face them. It might be in the next week. It might be in the next month. It might be 5 years from now. And you are going to face a personal life crisis unlike any that you've gone through before. The terrorist attack on the World Trade Center has put this country in a mode of panic and fear and uncertainty unlike any I have ever seen. One of the reasons the airlines are having to lay off so many people is not just because of what's happened, but because of the overwhelming panic and fear in the reaction of those who would ordinarily travel. All of a sudden, no one wants to be on a plane. No one wants to take the chance. Businesses are curtailing all their travel. Planes that used to fly at 70 to 80% full are now at 40 or 50%. The stock market for the last 8 days has gone down and down and down and down every single day. What's happening? What's happening is that the nation is in the grip of fear, but in particularly uncertainty. Even for me, I'll admit to you that I have laid awake at night concerned about one primary thing. You know what that has been? Has it been my money? It hasn't been the next airplane trip that I take because I'm going. It's been the young man standing right here who's my 20-year-old son who, if they decide to institute the draft, they start with 20-year-olds. I didn't raise my son to die in war. I'll just be very honest with you. I raised him for other things. And I have to live with the awareness that the next year, the next two, may bring things into my world and circumstantially that are beyond my control. And then I began thinking, as a pastor of this church, it's been targeting 18 to 25-year-olds, there may be a lot of young men if they decide to institute the draft that leave. Then I began to think about all the financial implications. You know, you may not realize this, but I'm not only a pastor, but I'm in business. I helped start the Evergreen churches, the Rock churches. We have employees. We have bills. We're trying to reach out to people. The first thing that goes when people struggle and panic financially, don't worry about the church. Don't worry about the charitable causes. And self-preservation sets in. There's uncertainty in our world. The other day, I got a phone call from a dear friend, a very, very dear friend. He and his wife were expecting their third child, and she called and asked for my wife and I to pray for her. She's been experiencing numbness and tingling in her limbs, in her arms, her fingers, in her tongue, in her mouth. And it's been very frightening. So they went to the doctor, and the doctor that they got happened to have been previously a neurosurgeon, or a neurologist, not a neurosurgeon. And he was very alarmed, and he said, I don't want to tell you this, but you need to get in for an MRI immediately. You might have MS. That's not very exciting news to hear. You've got two little ones at home and you're expecting your third. All of a sudden, out of the blue, your world is kind of rocked. And so they went through the test, and fortunately she didn't have MS, but they still don't know what's wrong. And then yesterday, I got a phone call and she was broken up on the phone in tears, said, "Mark, I've started bleeding again. I went to the doctor. My placenta's torn away. I might lose, starting to tear away. I might lose the baby." And not only that, there's something else going, but the doctor wouldn't tell me over the phone. I have to go in tomorrow morning. I just listened. And I just listened. And I sought to comfort the best that I could. And then I prayed with her over the phone and called later. And her husband was able to get through the doctor and get something out of him so that she would not have to wait overnight. And he said, we've detected a fold of skin in the neck, and we're not sure that's what it is, but if it is, it usually indicates a chromosomal problem. We like to do an amniotesis or something like that, where they take amniotic fluid, and usually if the baby's deformed, most people abort their baby. They're not going to do that. It's frightening. You're just going along your merry way in life, you know, just trying to love your family and live life, and bam! Out of the blue comes this monster storm. Sweeps you off your feet. Leaves you laying on the floor. Maybe in your tears. Some of us, you know, it may come in the form of something very small. It may not be a crisis to our health. It might not be a life and death matter. It might be something that in the bigger scheme of things is no greater than your boyfriend breaks up with you. But to you, it's a tsunami. To you, it's an earthquake. To you, it shatters your world. Every one of us here never know exactly what tomorrow holds. We don't have any guarantees of tomorrow, none of us. Young man who comes here to the Rock, his name is Pavel. He's a good friend of mine. He's a young man from the Czech Republic. He came over here and got involved in our youth group at Evergreen, and then came to Christ, and since now has been coming to the Rock. He's in college now, and he received a call just before the World Trade Center happened that his father, the mother living in the Czech Republic, was crossing the street and a motorcycle hit him and killed him. We raised some money and sent him on his way. He won't be back till January. His mother doesn't know what she's going to do. There's no life insurance over there. At least that he had. He was the sole income for that family. But of course, more than that, the man that she loved. You just never know when life is going to rain down on you so hard that you think it's never going to stop. I want to talk with you about those things over the next 5 weeks. Because one thing I've learned in my 45 years of life is that you and I cannot possibly control all of the circumstances that come in our life. We wished we could. I wished I could. I can't. But there's one thing that we can do. We can learn how to prepare for the storms so they do not devastate us. You see, if we don't learn how to deal effectively with the storms that come in life, if we don't learn how to approach them, how to think, how to watch over our emotional self, what happens is we're overwhelmed with fear, worry, anxiety, and trembling with uncertainty. And I've watched many people who do not know how to react to the storms of life, who do not know how to cope, who do not know how to face them. Not only are they hurt from the initial impact of the storm, but they become paralyzed and crippled emotionally because they had no idea how to face it. No idea whatsoever how to deal with it. There's a very good chance that in the next week, in the next month, in the next year, many of you in this room, you're going to have something happen that for you personally turns your world upside down. You didn't expect it. You didn't anticipate it. And on the one hand, while you're scared and you're feeling bruised and you're feeling battered, you're also going to be tested. We're going to find out what we're made of. Storms always do that. They reveal our true self. They reveal what we really believe. They reveal what we believe about God and what we believe about life. What I want to do tonight is I want to give you an understanding of a few things about life and about God that will help you keep your perspective. I want to start tonight with perspective. Next week we're going to talk about the most important thing you're going to need to handle the storms, how to get it. And each week we're going to go a little deeper into this. But tonight what I want to do is give you a perspective, an overview of life and of God. Because without these you're going to have trouble dealing with them. One of the first things that comes to our mind when storms come into our life is, why is this happening to me? It's one of the first things that happens. Why? The why question. Why me? Why now? Why this particular storm? I know my wife and I, over the years, we've been through many, a wide variety of storms. It seems like, to be honest, from the day we met each other, there has been great love, and there is great love. There has also been great difficulty. Starting off with her family rejecting me, her family rejecting us, her family rejecting our faith. I won't get into the story. It's long. It's difficult. And then in the middle of that, being in a terrible car accident that has permanently injured my wife's back, and it continues. She continues to have degenerative disc and spine problems. And it just gets worse and worse with each passing year. I remember riding back in that ambulance, tears rolling down my face, and I was thinking to myself, why? God, why did you do this? We were just coming back from a place where we were serving you, Lord. We're trying to follow you, Lord. I was driving a car. We had just switched. And she was driving. We were not married yet. We were engaged. I had no insurance on my car. That was my fault. That was ignorant. Talk about that a little bit. It made the storm more difficult. And as we're riding back in an ambulance, and I'm watching her lay there with these awful sounds coming out of her mouth, I'm thinking to myself, quite honestly, because the whole steering wheel had broken off. I mean, bam, just shoved it into the dash. The windshield was gone. The roof was crashed down. What had ended up happening is we'd rolled the car end over end three times. Well, that's how they recreated it. I don't know. I just woke up. My glasses were gone. My head was gashed open. And my brother's out with a pillow flagging down a semi in the middle of a blizzard. And I'm thinking, she's going to die. And it's just what's going to happen. I'm going to lose her. I'm not even going to get to marry her. She's going to die. Her lungs are punctured. Her ribs broken. When those kind of things happen in your life, you what do you do? You might think to do what Job's wife told him to do. Curse God, Job! What good has God been to you? He took all your children. He took all of our wealth. And now he took your health. You're covered with boils, Job. And Job's response to her was, woman, you speak like a foolish woman. Shall we accept good from the Lord and not also bad? We'll talk about that in a moment. My life has been filled with those kinds of experiences. Sometimes there are reasons why things happen. For example, you're driving down the road. You neglected to fill your car with gas. You've seen the needle close to E. You now see it on E, and you run out. Why did this happen to me, Lord? Well, someone was irresponsible. And you had to blame God. There are times like that. There are times you can get an answer to the why, but let me share this with you. The biggest storms that come in your life, the hardest ones, are the ones you aren't going to get an answer for. So here's what you've got to do. You've got to focus on what you can know, what you can understand, and what you can be sure of. And do not focus on what you cannot know, what you cannot understand, and what you cannot be sure of. There are five very simple but very profound things that I want to share with you tonight about the storms of life. Okay? What you need to know about the storms and about God. All of them I could just do a whole message on, but I'm not going to do that. The first is this. Pain and suffering are part of this broken, fallen world. Injustice and unfairness will happen to you and I. It will happen to you and I. Now, there's a lot of people people have philosophized. They have written books. They get paid, professors at school, to talk about this topic. Pain and suffering. Why is it happening? The answer really is not complicated. I'm going to be honest with you. The answer is not complicated. We just look at ourselves in the mirror. We are the reason there is so much pain and suffering in the world. In other words, let me explain it just very clearly. Mankind is a fallen race. We are a fallen species. When Adam and Eve chose in the garden to rebel against God, they passed on a genetic deformity to all of us, and it's called sin. Brokenness, selfishness. As a result, there's all kinds of pain in the world. All kinds of pain. The World Trade Center goes back to the evil nature of man. The divorces that are happening that many of us experienced growing up as children, that we saw the vileness between our parents, all had to do with the sinful nature of man. Now, as I showed with you last week, God provided a solution. People say to me, so why has God let it go on? God provides a solution, His Son. Second thing that you need to understand is one day it's going to end. You see, that's why I am so excited about the next life. That's why Billy Graham has spent his life, even his waning years, with Parkinson's disease. Same disease that Muhammad Ali has. Muhammad Ali can barely stand and talk. Neither can Billy Graham. But when he gets behind a podium at 82 years of age, he has one thing on his mind. What is that? To bring the good news. The good news to people. There is a God, there is a heaven, and you can go there. There is a better life coming. That is the ultimate solution. Pain and suffering are going to all be done away with, and there will be none, and there will be a new heavens and a new earth, and there will be peace and tranquility and excitement beyond what you could ever imagine. That's the solution. We'll talk about that more in the weeks to come. But in the meantime, there is pain and there is suffering in the world. Now let me share this with you. You've got to accept this as a fact of life rather than wrestle philosophically with this issue. I know a lot of people who are wasting time going, but why is there a devil? And why does God let it go on? Because He believes it's best. Take it or leave it. I'm just being totally, nakedly honest with you. Take it or leave it. But if you leave it, you got a whole lot of problems on your hands. Do not turn your back on the very one who can bring peace and tranquility in your life because you're unwilling to recognize that we brought this on ourselves. And God, in His love and grace, has brought a solution through His Son. Never forget, by the way, never forget that it was God who allowed His own Son to experience far worse pain than any of us in this room will ever experience. When you feel alone, when you feel down, when you feel like, Lord, I can't take this anymore, remember, God understands. He empathizes. His own Son, His own Son was a victim of the taunts of the crowd. They didn't embrace Him. He healed them. He raised them from the dead. He fed them, and they laughed at Him, and they scoffed at Him, and they ripped His beard out. They stripped Him naked. He was not given a fair trial. He was beaten till the flesh was ripped from His back. And He was hung for the world to laugh at. And on top of that, God put all the sin of mankind on His Son and crushed Him. God understands what it's like to hurt. He sees the end game. He knows where His children are going. He understands the grand design. I admit to you, I do not grasp it all. I am a finite little ant when it comes to my capacity to grasp all of the great things of life. God knows answers to questions we have not even thought to ask. Stop asking and start trusting, and you will experience peace in your life. Second thing you've got to understand about the storms of life is that no storm or hardship can keep God's love from you. Our first thought when difficulties come into our life, and it's happened to me, God, why are you against me? God's trying to get even with me. God is punishing me. God is trying to ruin my life. Nothing could be further from the truth. Nothing could be further from the truth. Now, C.S. Lewis said, God whispers in comfort, but He screams in our pain. I'm sure that we would all accept the fact that though this horrendous and awful tragedy has happened, and justice does need to be done, and one way or the other it will be done, I'm sure we would all also admit that all of a sudden, America's listening. Where was the American Civil Liberties Union last 2 weeks? Hey, stop praying in school. Hey, what are you doing praying in public? Where were they? Where were they? You think they have the audacity to head to court next week and sue? Do you think they do? You've got to be kidding. All of a sudden, it's okay to pray in school. All of a sudden, it's okay to pray on national television. All of a sudden, it's okay for a president to call for a day of prayer. A day of what? A day of seeking God. America's listening. I'll tell you a little bit of the difference between young people and older people. Last week at Evergreen in Bloomington, there were 600 more adults than the week before. That didn't happen here. I have my ideas as to why. One of them is because when you have a wife and children, life's a lot more serious than when you're 20, single, living it up. Churches all over this country were overflowing in ways they haven't ever before. Will it continue? I have to tell you, to be honest, I don't think so. Sorry to say that. Breaks my heart to say it. It's just the way Americans are. That doesn't mean you and I have to respond that way. God loves you. Not only does God love you, you are precious to God. You are precious to God. Nothing can keep His love from you. This is why Paul writes and says, "For I am convinced that neither life nor death, nor angels nor demons, nor difficulties, nor things present, nor things to come can separate us from God's love." We're talking about a man who had been beaten 3 times in his life with 49 lashes. We're talking about a man who'd been stoned and left for dead. We're talking about a man who'd been beaten with sticks and rods. We're talking about a man who everywhere he went was chased down and rioted upon and thrown in jail. That's the secret to Paul's life, you see. The secret to this revolutionary's life was he understood no hardship, no storm can keep God's love from me. And I can't tell you what kind of confidence that gives me for life. The third thing that we have to understand is that we cannot be surprised by the storms. We must learn to anticipate them. They're going to happen. They are a part of your future. I have watched so many, young and old, you may not realize this, but one of the job descriptions of a pastor is to visit people when their children are dying, when their wife or husband is in the hospital. First funeral I ever did as a young man was a young couple who just started coming to Evergreen years ago, shortly after we started the church. My little boy Micah was born, my youngest. And they have little boy Mariah, who was born 3 weeks later. They had just begun a relationship with Christ. And God had saved them from some really awful things. And they were growing. In fact, they took over the tape library. They're the reason we have all the tapes that you can get. They're the reason why. About 6 months of age, I got a call one day. Mike was about 6 months, but I was about 6 months. And it was the gal, the mommy. She was in tears. She said, "Mark, please come over right away. I was at work today. The sitter called. She wanted to wake up our baby. The baby's not breathing. The baby's dead. Sudden infant death syndrome." I've never been to a funeral like that. It was my first funeral. I've never been to one since like that. And I've done many. You ever seen a little tiny casket? With that, and I have a little baby that age. And I remember doing that funeral. And I just stood and the tears rolled down my eyes. As they sobbed in that front row. And I told them, "I don't have answers for why this happened. The only thing I know to do in times like this is to think about what we can know and not what we can't." Your little baby is with Christ. And the Bible says, and I read Romans chapter 8, that nothing can keep God's love from us. Today, they're still going strong for Christ. I went home that day after that funeral. I fell on my face in my garage. And I prayed for that couple because I was very, very afraid that they would turn their back on God. And then they'd be in a worse place than they ever had been before. The Bible tells us in Peter, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal that comes upon you as if something strange is happening to you. We, especially, I'll just be honest, as Americans, that's very strange to us. We're horrified by some of the events of the last few weeks. Listen, this kind of stuff, now I realize, please do not take me wrong. It was a despicable act. And we, of all people, paid a greater price than has been paid. Thousands died. Thousands died. But acts of terrorism have been going on around the world for years. We've been oblivious to them. Do you remember that just a few years ago, 100,000 Tutsi warriors slaughtered and butchered almost 200,000 Hutus? They butchered them. They hacked them with machetes. And the UN Peace Corps that was sent over there, I watched interviews with troops, tears rolling down their eyes as they said, "We were forced to stand and watch and do nothing because of our orders." You know what that would do to you? You know what that would do to you? We're talking women and children. Men and women, listen. It's happening. Evil is real. We're not used to fire ordeals. All of a sudden, they come to our life and we think, wait a minute, I don't deserve this. I live in America. Everything should be just fine in my life. God says, don't be surprised. Jesus told his disciples, through many tribulations, you must enter the kingdom of heaven. They're coming. All 11 of the apostles, 11, Judas died. John was exiled to the Isle of Patmos for his whole life alone. All the others, including Paul, were martyred. Paul was beheaded. Peter was crucified upside down. It's coming. Tough times are coming. It does no good to stick our head in the sand and pretend. We got to open up our eyes and realize that whether they're big or small, difficulties, they're coming. That's the nature of humanity on planet Earth. The best thing you can do is get your head up and get ready for them. Fourth thing you've got to understand is this. Some storms come because of our own foolishness. For example, running out of gas. Me not having insurance on my car. It made things quite a bit more difficult. But some of them come from God's loving hand. Here's what you need to know. Whichever is the case, God will use them for good in your life. That's the beautiful, awesome thing about knowing Christ personally in your life. He takes all of the bad and He works it for good. He works it. Help right now. But through that, God has used him in that house to lead many other young men to Christ that are here tonight. God promises to work everything for good in our lives. We can either go through life sweating it, or we can go through life with peace in our heart, knowing good is coming, good is coming. God made this promise in Romans 8. And we know that God causes all things to work for good to those who love Him, to those who are called according to His purpose, you see. You remember the old story, Humpty Dumpty sat on a wall, Humpty Dumpty had a great fall. All the king's horses and all the king's men couldn't put Humpty together again. God can. God takes our mistakes, and there will be some. He takes those injustices that happened in our life that had nothing to do with us. And He takes the unfair things that happen in our life, and He takes the unjust suffering that happens in our life, and He works them for good. My wife is here tonight. You have a chance, ladies, to go here if you'd like. She'd be the first one to tell you that all the health problems that she has as a result of what happened to that accident, and now the tingling in her hands and the numbness in her feet and all the trials that have come, God has worked them for good and has only made her a greater person. See, with God, in the end, you always win. And the fifth thing that you've got to understand about the storm, and this is very, very important, is that every storm God allows in your life is guided by His infinite love and wisdom. He intends them to enrich you and make you a more extraordinary individual. You would have never heard of Daniel had it not been for the lion's den. You would have never heard of David had it not been for Goliath. You would have never heard of Moses had it not been for the Pharaoh who would not let God's people go. You would have never known your name. You would have never known of Esther had Esther not decided to risk all and confront the king and ask him to save her people, which in her day could have got her killed without being summoned by the king. You see, God is infinite in His love for you and infinite in His wisdom and infinite in His understanding of all that's going on. He sees the big picture that you and I do not. Here's a life promise. I go over this frequently in my life. In Ephesians 1:8, this is from the Living Bible, and it says, He has showered down upon us the richness of His grace, for how well He knows us and knows what is best for us at all times. Last week when Celeste and Jeremy sang this song at the end of the service, which is a song I wrote almost 23 years ago. I wrote it when I was going through a very difficult time in my life. I remind myself every day, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. Why do I remind myself of that? Here's why. He's the shepherd, and I'm the sheep. We get that mixed up. See, this is the problem. We get it mixed up. We get to thinking, I'm Lord of my life. I am in control of my own destiny. No, you're not. You're not. Yes, you have some choices that you can make that impact your destiny. But the Lord is our shepherd. And He promises that even though I might be in the valley of the shadow of death, that even in the presence of those who would hate me and my enemies, He still prepares a feast for me. I can be confident. I can be comfortable. I can be at rest because of what I know, because of what my perspective is in the midst of the storm. Or you can be totally beside yourself, overwhelmed with emotion, racked with grief, giving into discouragement and depression and anger and hate and emptiness. We can make those choices depending on our perspective as it relates to the storm of life. These five things, I believe, can help you immensely deal with the storms that are inevitable. I want to invite you to come back next week, because we're going to talk about the most important thing you need for the storms, how to get it, how to develop it, and we'll continue in the weeks to come. Thank you very much for being here tonight. It's wonderful to have you here at The Rock. Afterwards, if you'd like, we have refreshments downstairs. It's free. Love to meet you. I'd love to visit with you. I also want to remind you of this. If any of you want someone to talk to, feel free to give Greg and I a call anytime. Either our email address is in the program, or our phone number you can get by calling the Rock Hotline. We would love to visit with you. Some of you may be going through some very difficult things in your life right now. We know that. That's part of the reason why the Rock exists. Also, check out those small groups, because one of the most encouraging and comforting things about going through difficult things is when you've got others to lean on. And that's a lot of what our small groups are all about. Let's pray. Father, we want to thank You tonight that all that You allow in our life, Lord, all that comes, You have assured us is guided by Your love and Your wisdom. We thank You, Heavenly Father, for Your amazing goodness, Your amazing grace. In Jesus' name, amen.